Welcome to Fit and Chips Chats. This is a podcast for women over 40 who are looking for sane and frank advice about their health and wellness, especially through menopause. I'm Amanda Thebe, the original resilient bitch and menopause guru. In my work as a personal trainer and nutrition coach, and through my own personal experience, it became obvious to me information about menopause and this curious phase of our life was so ridiculously hard to find. And that's why I started this podcast. Join me every week as I speak to health and wellness experts on hot topics that directly impact you. I've made it my mission to help you by exploding a few myths, presenting you with the facts, and hoping to inspire you to be a healthy, strong person just like me. If you like this show, please subscribe and leave a review. Then go and tell your friends, and then go and tell your husband, and then tell the neighbor, and then don't forget to visit me at fitandchips.com. And now let's get started on today's show. Hello, welcome back to this week's episode of Fit and Chips Chats. Today on the show, I have Elizabeth Stacey Ellis. She is joining me from Florida. I first found Elizabeth Stacey. Can I just call you Elizabeth? Or do I have to call you?
Of course, yeah.
On Instagram. But then it was because I knew her through lots of other people, most specifically Mark Fisher, who's a friend of mine, and she was one of the trainers there. And I've got Elizabeth on the show today. She's a strength coach, and she has her own online training community. She's just a really nice person, and she gives out tons and tons of really valuable advice on her Instagram feed. And at the end of the show, I'll get her to tell you where you can find her. But for now, Elizabeth, thank you for coming on the show and welcome.
Thank you so much, Amanda, for having me. I just have loved our rapport online, so it's so nice to really get to talk to you in person.
Yeah, I feel like I've known you for ages, actually. You're like one of those people, I think.
It's true. I feel the same way about you.
And so I feel as well, Elizabeth, like you have a really nice, big personality that people just warm to. And I wonder whether that comes from your background, like just as a performer. And so I thought what it might be a nice thing to do is for you to tell us like where you came from and then like how you ended up in the fitness world, because it's a really fun story.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I actually was a performer, a dancer, mostly all of my life. I went to college at Florida State for music theater and graduated with a BFA, moved to New York pretty shortly after, and booked my first Broadway tour. So my first professional career was actually as a Broadway performer or music theater performer. I sing, act, and dance. and that was a really, fulfilling career for me for about, I would say, 6 to 7 years professionally, living in the city, leaving town to go do gigs, because an actor's life is very, very feast or famine. You go where the work is. But I feel like I learned so much about myself while I was touring the country and in those jobs, creating such an amazing network of like-minded artists. On my final tour, it was the first national tour of Grease, the musical, which I know we all love from the movie.
Oh, what did you play? Which character?
I was what they call a swing. So I was backstage and had to learn several roles and be ready to step into, any role on any given night. So I covered Sandy, Patty, Cha-Cha, Frenchie, and all of the female ensemble roles. So it was a lot of information to know. And it's actually where I met my now husband, on the road there. But I remember being at the end of that tour and always had my sights set on other careers. I always knew I wanted to do something else, that this was one of my passions, but I knew I wanted to explore more and I really wanted to help people. And that was kind of my driving factor in starting to explore other careers. So, I got back to New York and started exploring what would I feel would be bringing me value and be bringing other people value. How could I really serve others? And physical therapy actually came up for me. And that was a route I thought I was going to go. So I went back to school, started earning some kind of post-baccalaureate work to build up credits for that program. And kind of along the way in that time, I reached out to Mark Fisher, who was a good friend of mine from the performing community. And I knew he was, you know, doing this whole gym thing and training people. And I knew he had a lot of, you know, great connections. And I thought, you know, maybe this could be my survival job while I'm at school for physical therapy. It goes hand in hand. So I reached out, asked him, you know, for some referrals or where's a great place to even work. I'm just so new. I don't even know anything. And he said, you know what? We're actually starting our very first inaugural internship program. Why don't you check it out? Would you like to come on board? So I interviewed and applied and got it and was really excited, you know, to dip my toes in. And in those first few months, learned so much just about strength training and mobility and stability and breathing that I felt so, gosh, empowered by that knowledge and everything they had to offer, that I felt like maybe this is actually a better fit for me. Maybe this is a better setting than the more clinical kind of version of this. And so pretty much after that, I hung my hat up with acting and with school. And I went that route because I thought, I think this is the best of all my worlds to be able to work with people in a gym setting and be able to change lives in that way. And truly, it has ended up being the dream job I never knew I wanted all along. So it's really cool to end up here now. Yeah.
Yeah. And I suppose in some respect, you are still a performer, right? I mean, we all are. We put ourselves out there for people in order for them to learn from us. So, I mean, and of course, working at Mark Fisher Fitness is, as in his own words, is not like any other gym on earth. And so it really is an environment for learning, but also to meet the most fabulous people. It's really quite a unique place, isn't it?
It's so true. And, you know, for me, I think making that transition from the theater world into fitness, it was the perfect fit. And many of us have that similar background that were trainers there or are still trainers there. Because you can really speak the language of most of the demographic, you know, who are in the arts in some form, in some way. So it was a great blend of the things I loved.
And so can we talk a little bit about your time when you were doing the Broadway tour, the circuit? For all that you did come from like a healthy background and, you know, you'd always worked out in high school, college, and you tried to be as fit and healthy as you could, you really struggled to maintain that balance when you were on the road and in that environment. And I wondered if you could talk a little bit about that and how it's then like impacted the way you coach people now.
Absolutely. Yes, that time in my life had such a profound effect on where I am now. You know, growing up a dancer, unfortunately, there is such a focus on body type. And when you're so young and impressionable, it is really hard to not let that affect you. So like a lot of my colleagues, I certainly came from a disordered eating past for sure. And, you know, it's now knowing what I know about nutrition and having now that I'm on the other side of it, I feel so empowered by that knowledge. And that is one of the gifts that I just hope to give to other people who might be struggling, especially fellow performers who feel the need to fit a certain type, because, you know, typecasting is a very real thing and a very real part of that business. Fortunately or unfortunately, I think unfortunately,
yeah.
And it really can really make the quality of life suffer. So when I was on the road or on tour, even in between gigs, I felt constant anxiety to maintain thinness, I would say, and was very afraid of any muscle at all. My type was sort of an ingenue type, so just a young, you know, kind of bright-eyed type. And I felt I knew I had to be stay petite. And in order to do that, a lot of times, because I lacked the knowledge of nutrition and fitness, it would result in, you know, not eating. It would result in, you know, long periods of time of not eating or making really strange choices because I thought, oh, well, this is low in fat, so I'll just eat a lot of like saltine crackers, you know, just very strange patterns because I didn't have that knowledge, security, or confidence in nutrition. And once I started to learn about nutrition, it felt like, I mean, my whole world opened up and confidence slowly started coming back. and then adopting those things and starting to trust them, which took a long time. You know, it wasn't overnight, but trusting that eating enough was actually good for me and would actually produce the results that I was after all along, you know, just changed my whole world, changed my whole body image and how I felt about myself and, you know, how I take care of myself to this day. But yeah, it's definitely a journey and can be a struggle and can be very scary. And so when I have clients who I feel have a similar past as me, it's almost like a way of going back in time and helping myself, if that makes sense. And
how do you start that coaching process? Because I've worked with some women with eating disorders as well. I haven't worked with any males with eating disorders. As soon as I started work with them, I had to reach out to people who were professionals in this. Mm-hmm. And I was very upfront and honest with my clients that I'd never struggled with eating disorders myself. Although I feel like I've got a fairly good understanding of, you know, the challenges that they face. But it seems to me that, you know, there's a lot of coaches out there that don't truly appreciate what an eating disorder is and will constantly talk about tracking and talk about counting their calories and talk about you know, watching what food they eat without looking at the real big picture about this. And I wonder, like, what your approach to nutrition is for people with an existing or a previous eating disorder.
Yes, great question. I think first and foremost, I don't feel wholly equipped to deal with somebody who might be really, you know, in the throes of an eating disorder, because I do so value people who are experts at that, you know, and the professionals. So generally people who come to me probably have struggled in a similar way that I have, where it's a pattern, but they're curious enough to know, I want to get out of this pattern. So they've got a willingness about them, you know, when they come to me about really wanting to change the patterns, but sort of feeling powerless in how to do that. Yeah. So I think the number one thing is first just compassion. You know, compassion goes so far, and just saying you're so heard and it's okay to be scared of this process. Sort of normalizing that for people and saying, I've been there too. And that can be so helpful. And I have come to their side as well. So I can tell you it is glorious to be on the other side. And the other part is not forcing them into something they're not ready for. Not just being like, well, I do macros and you're going to have to start tracking immediately. And that's just how I do it. Really having the conversation, seeing, are they willing and able to commit to a structured eating plan. And if that might not be the healthiest place for them, you know, the best thing is focusing on, I think, quality of food and making sure they're eating enough, you know, and then not being super rigid or nitpicky about macro, you know, some sort of macro division, but really trying to slowly and gradually and very gracefully encourage them to start eating more and to kind of track how that's making them feel. Because I think once they start to see, oh my gosh, I mean, I remember having a client saying, my hair has grown back in so thick. I used to have thick, beautiful hair. And I realized it's just been over the past few years just falling out and thinning. And I have my beautiful hair back. And it's made me realize I haven't been serving myself nutritionally. And like, man, you know, when you hear something like that, you know, those are the best types of changes. And to try to shift it from a physical change, you know, an aesthetic change, to how are you feeling day to day? How are you energizing? How are you fueling your body? I think that's the focus I try to rely on with those type of clients.
I know I like to also, like, as well as taking the shift away from, like you said, about the aesthetic and about being hyper-focused on, you know, like, say, any type of tracking, is like to try and get them to notice the, like you said, the feelings around food, like the emotional connection. Mm-hmm. And I think that I found that to be a massive game changer for a lot of clients, where if they're mindlessly eating, just snacking because it's their coping strategy, mm-hmm. to actually make them pause and just take like one breath and just say, before you actually eat the food, can you just listen to what your mind's saying, listen to that thought monster and see if that, see what you're actually saying. Do you want to eat this? Are you eating this in lieu of something else that you should be doing, you know? And and so I think that's something that I found to be really helpful as well. I mean, is that something that you had to do personally did you have to, because I know that the reason I'm asking these questions and it's sort of like I'm leading you into this is because I know we're both precision nutrition graduates, right? I don't know if you're a graduate yet or still a student, but like I did it like 6 years ago, and it's like basically the philosophy of how I do all of my nutrition is like education. It's education, not what food to put in a person's mouth.
Yes, absolutely. I think, yes, that was a huge factor for me and still is the way I lead myself, I think, with my nutrition to this day. And I think it's what's enabled me to step back from tracking meticulously and sort of just like living in a health-minded, you know, consciousness, is just evaluating how's this food going to make me feel or how is this food going to serve me today? And I think, you know, it took so long to go from the scarcity mentality because of depriving myself for so long, that transition was just healing my relationship with food and not being scared of it. And now I'm at the point where, it feels so much more organic. You know, it's just knowing what is going to serve me, what is going to feel good for my gut health, what is going to prolong my energy that day. You know, so if I ever do see something that might feel tempting, I either have it if I want it, you know, if it's going to bring me joy, or if I say, you know what, am I really hungry right now? Would actually sitting down and having a small meal serve me better? You know, and I try to have those conversations with myself, and 9 times out of 10, it's just actual hunger and I just need to eat a meal. Yeah. And so I think, yeah, I do that on a daily basis, but it's become more organic. It's just sort of a little voice in the back of my head now.
Yeah. You've built up that relationship with food. And that's interesting that you actually said that you've stopped being scared of the relationship around food. And that's something I've never heard before, but it sort of makes so much sense to me because we overthink things, don't we, as humans, and it can create fear. And what, if I eat that, is that going to send me spiraling, putting loads of weight on? And it's just, there's so much information out there that I can understand why people are scared and are like worried about what they should and shouldn't eat. So that's a really interesting statement. I like that. So, okay, you do have an online community, and I know that it's going really well. So you obviously see lots of people and you see lots of challenges that come towards you. And so I'm wondering, what are some of the main challenges that you see for people joining a program, like a strength program? What are sort of like some of the common areas and how do you address those?
Yeah. So in terms of online training clients, so the ones that are doing either program design with me or doing some sort of fitness plan, definitely just consistency is always so tough for people. Yeah. So I think the best strategy that I have been able to come up with that makes people feel so successful, as I say, set a small goal. You know, I say like, I want you to aim for the stars, of course, but I want you to set really small goals one by one, because once you conquer those small goals, you feel a sense of self-efficacy and confidence and like, I actually can do this. Because I think what most people come to me, they're like, I'm going to work out 5 days a week and I'm going to track macros and I want to do everything and you know, get in shape.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really encourage them to take a step back and to really prioritize, what do you really want right now? And what can you realistically do with your actual schedule? You know, what can you fit in? And so a lot of times that kind of tones people down and they're like, okay, you know, I think actually realistically I can commit. I know I can get to the gym 3 times a week. And I'm like, awesome. That's where we're starting. And once they feel confident in that, then that's when we can start adding on maybe a fourth day, or we can start adding in that nutrition piece. So I think, yeah, the best advice for people to not feel overwhelmed and then to just drop off is starting small and then gradually building upon.
Like, don't think you have to do everything straight away.
Exactly. Yeah, because that leads to burnout, you know, and is probably why other things haven't worked in the past too.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And maybe the type of people that you attract as well might be a little bit more on the A-type personality as well. You know, the big achievers, it might also be that. And that's really hard to change that mindset to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to ask you to do less, not more. I'm actually going to ask you to pull back and just see if you can maintain at least 3 times a week for the next 3 or 4 weeks. And if you can do that, then let's talk more. And I think that that's a really great a really great way to build consistency. I'm all about the small wins, mm-hmm. even for myself. Like, I'm like, if I'm going to work out four times and even one of my workouts is just a piddly 10 minutes, it counts. It's fine. I'm okay exactly. with that.
Exactly. And, you know, that reminds me of a goal I set for myself, I think, last New Year's was, it was actually a time goal. So saying that I had to, not had to, but my goal was to work out for 20 minutes or more, but at least 20 minutes, you know, just, and that felt less daunting to me, four times a week. And so that was my New Year's resolution. And that really helped me on those days where maybe I didn't feel like it, or I felt like I could get distracted. Yeah. You know what? You have 20 minutes. So I would get in there for 20 minutes, and then sometimes it would be an hour, and then sometimes it would just be 20 minutes. And I still knew I was fulfilling my goal. So I think that's a great way too of monitoring, you know, consistency and hitting your goals too.
Yeah, my goals are funny. I know whenever I post my goals, I often get lots of comments, especially if I do them on my Instagram stories, because I do annual goals too. And I understand that, you know, the work behind process and outcome goals. And I feel as though my processes to get to my outcome goals are already built up. I don't need to work on them. Whereas most of my clients, I do try and get them into those small habits to build up consistency. But my annual goals are 200 workouts a year and to run 500 kilometers. And so, so 200 workouts a year is 4 workouts a week. And 500 kilometers is 15 kilometers a week. I am about 100 kilometers behind on my running because I don't run and I don't like it, but that's okay. And then on my workouts, I'm on track as expected. But like I said, I even count the ones that are really pathetic because I showed up. It's all about showing up.
Exactly. Yeah. Even a 10-minute circuit, you're like, I feel so much better, you know, than not having done it at all.
Exactly. Yes. So that, so we sort of got similar goals. That's quite interesting.
Yes, I love that.
I like yours too. And then what about those people that come on board and have never done anything? And they're like, I'm so nervous. I've never set foot in a gym. I've never worked out before. I'm really scared. I know my body. I know this is the right thing for me, but how do you?
Yes, absolutely. And I have to say, like, those are some of my favorite clients. Yeah. You know, because they're ready for that change, but they just need the guidance. And, you know, I think what I lead with is I'm like, I was you once, you know, I totally know what you're feeling, because there was a time where I'd go into the gym and I would have no idea what to do and what would be effective for my goals. And to have that like sense of just, oh my gosh, overwhelm, you know, is enough to make anybody not want to go back. So, you know, my main goal in any of my program design or my online training programs is to take that guesswork out of the equation and to just reassure them, you know, that small, simple changes and starting with, you know, base level foundational movements, is the best way to build up that confidence and that strength. And, it's amazing to see what people can do when they put their mind to it and they start with the basics, you know, like a basic hinge and a basic squat and a basic push and pull, meeting them where they're at and then watching them build that strength and that confidence. And I love those emails that I get when I've been training people for a few months and they're like, I think I'm ready to like buy my first kettlebell, you know, can you help me? You know, and those kinds of things are like, I'm thinking about joining a gym now. I feel confident that I'm not going to be embarrassed to walk in the gym because I don't know what I'm doing. I feel more confident now because of the programming and the foundation we've built. So I think that's the important thing. That's one important thing is, you know, building that foundation first and starting gradually. And then the other thing is just for all of us, myself included, anytime I walk into a new gym space, I feel what I like to call gym intimidation. It's like, it's everybody's, you know, everybody's nature, no matter how expert you are, I still feel that, you know, your heart starts to race a little bit, you're in a new space and you know, everybody, you know, like, oh, somebody looking at me. But you have to remember that as insecure as you might feel, everybody else around you is feeling just that insecure. And if they're looking at you, they're probably wondering, what are you doing? And should I be doing that too? And so when you realize how human everybody really is in that space and that environment, I think it takes away that gym intimidation from the whole event, you know, whole environment.
And I know, I think as well, you know, especially in the world, the social media world that we live in, and I wish I sometimes didn't, in all honesty, it's that, you know, we see so many gimmicks out there. We see There's this amazing lady at the moment who's in her 70s and she's working with a trainer, and I'm not going to name any names, but she's a crazy inspiration. She's doing pull-ups, she's doing sled pulls, she's this crazy, strong, like strong, fierce woman as well. Like she just wants it all. It's so great to see. But what I don't like about it is that her trainer has her doing all of these like gimmicks, like where she's doing a plank on upturned kettlebells on a Bosu ball, pulling a sled, you know, while balancing on, I don't know, it's crazy. It's just crazy stuff. And for all he gets thousands of likes, part of me looks and goes, you don't need, this is just taking the piss out of what's actually what we know to work, right? Did you even do any education? Like this isn't safe and it's not necessary. And so the fact that you make the foundations or the basics like a priority in your programs is great, because I get really frustrated myself because I do program them a lot, because a basic hip hinge is a human movement that we all need to do, and we need to work on building strength on it because it obviously powers our movements, our glutes, our hamstrings, and our whole posterior chain. And that hip hinge obviously is eventually going to lead to a deadlift. Mm-hmm. But the steps to get there could be 2 or 3, or they could be 20. There's so many different variations of the basic exercise that we can build on to make you strong and successful. And so I'm really glad that that's part of your mentality when it comes to coaching, because I, for honestly, so many times I look at Instagram and my eyes roll in the back of my head. And like, really? Really?
Or even, you know, just form being misrepresented, you know, because the photo looks better, that kills me, you know? So I, you know, when you have a client who comes in and they're planking, you know, with their booty up in the air, and I'm like, well, yes, that looks good on someone's Instagram profile picture, but that's not going to do anything for your core, you know? And so in starting to teach people the difference of what you see might not always be correct, you know, is very empowering.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so what's next for you, Elizabeth? Where are we going with your massive presence now? What would you like to see happen in the world of Elizabeth Stacey?
Well, I guess, you know, this is a great time to make a public announcement that I'm actually pregnant. So
holy crap, thank you for doing it on this show. But congratulations.
Thank you so much. So it has definitely changed my personal goals in the gym and nutrition quite a lot, and humbled me quite a lot so far. I'll be 12 weeks next week, so we're almost out of the first trimester. And you know, it's been such a lesson, I think, in listening to my body, being intuitive, and leaving my ego at the door. And now realizing that training is completely, you know, has a different goal completely in mind. And it's just to feel energized and healthy. And also being like, you know what, some days I just need to lay on the couch and be okay with that too. So personally, it's definitely changed my goals and helped me a lot. But professionally, I'm enrolled in the Girls Gone Strong, the pre and postnatal coaching program. So I'm working on my certification for that. And that was a goal before I got pregnant. I mean, that was something that I wanted to add to my repertoire to be a strong, educated voice, you know, for that niche, so that I can help women in all stages of their life. So now it has a more personal.
It has the personal twist. Well, this is a fantastic news. Congratulations. You'll be a wonderful mom, I'm sure. And you know what? I wish I had the knowledge now that I mean, my children, one of mine's 16, one's 12. And so it feels like a lifetime ago almost, but when I was pregnant, I didn't have the education, it wasn't out there. Nobody was speaking about it. We've come a long way in those 15 years. And there's so many wonderful ambassadors out there for that niche of women, the pre and postnatal crowd, because we can stay strong, we can move, and we can care for our body and our baby and nourish it well. And we're just in a different time now. So I think it's an exciting place for you to be, as well as the fact that you're going to be a mother.
Well, thank you so much. And I couldn't agree more with what you said. There's so much fear, you know, I think still around moving or lifting. And, you know, the more strong voices that can be out there to say, first and foremost, listen to your body. But secondly, there is a safe way to do this and continue feeling strong through your pregnancy is just so powerful and so important.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful news anyway. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. It was a really great conversation. And I just think it's just so great to emphasize that, you know, there's a place for everybody in fitness. That's sort of my goal about the podcast, is to say it doesn't matter where you are in your fitness, you can start right now. And there's always people out there to support you. I try and show people who those are. but if anybody wants to follow along with your journey and now your new pregnancy journey, where can we find you?
Sure. So I'm very active on Instagram, as you know. And my handle is simply my full name, Elizabeth Stacy Ellis. And I really do try to work hard to constantly post content. So I'm on there a lot. I'll answer DMs, you know, everything. And then my website is also ElizabethStacyEllis.com. So those are the best places to find me.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's great. I'll make sure they're in the show notes so anyone can head on over. And I'd like to say thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure.
Okay, thank you, and take care, everyone. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the show. And now I have a quick favor to ask of you. Would you leave me a review? Every time you leave me a review, it helps me get in front of new listeners. It helps me to continue to put out great content and get fabulous guests on the show. And in return for you doing that, I will send you a free gift. I have a 12-week core focus program called Abs on Fire. All you need to do is two simple things. One, leave me a review on iTunes or Google. Two, email me at amanda@fitandchips.com and I'll wing that program over to you. Thanks so much, guys. The views and advice expressed in this show by myself are not a substitute for conventional medical service. No information here should be interpreted as a medical diagnosis, treatment, or prevention of any disease. If in any doubt, always contact your healthcare provider. Thanks so much for stopping by. Take care. Bye.